Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Inbounds goes to Davis. Intercepted on the pass by Miami. George for three. Got it! George with a three ball. We've got a game. The lead is two. 72-70.
And what a game we had last night in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Welcome to the Hurricane Hotline. Welcome to the show. Big show coming up. We'll hear from University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. Also coming up on the show tonight, Katie Meyer as well. But last night in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, a shorthanded University of Miami team nearly did the impossible, only to fall 75-71. We bring on Coach L. Coach L, good evening, and welcome back to the Hotline.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, it was certainly some game last night. I sure wish it had ended a lot differently, but our guys, really made a run at the end.
Well, here's where I wanted to start the show. I was thinking about it on the airplane last night, and you're down two starters. You have to kind of rework your game plan. Late in the afternoon, 21,000 people are going crazy. Their player, R.J. Davis, scores 42 points. He scores more points in the Dean Smith Center than any other Tar Heel, which is remarkable. So you're up against that after his flurry. I think it was 12 points in, 3 minutes. All of those things happen, and lo and behold, with less than 1 minute to go in the game, you're down two. And the ball is in the hands of one of your best players 5 feet from the basket. Now, if that isn't damn good coaching, I don't know what it is. But somehow, some way, you were able to get your team 5 feet from the basket with less than a minute to go with a chance to tie.
Well, I'd say that the credit to the comeback really goes to our players, Joe. We were down 70-57. With 4 minutes and 19 seconds to go, when R.J. Davis made a three-pointer. It put them up 13, all right? And then we battled back. We kept cutting into the lead. It's 71-59, 72-59, 72-65, 72-66, and then that play you just described, Keyshawn George makes the three-pointer to pull us into 72-70. And then Harrison Ingram misses a 23-footer, a nice three-point shot, but he misses it. And then Norshad has a layup to tie the game and just can't get it to go. And then we're forced to be in a fouling situation. They make one, but then they miss several free throws. And unfortunately, Joe, you know what we work on the very last thing before every Carolina game, that Carolina tip out.
Yeah.
On a missed free throw.
Right. Yep.
And they got offensive rebounds very much the way Wake Forest did against us back in early January. We're not a big, strong physical team. And we gave up a couple of offensive rebound possessions, and that made the difference in the game.
Well, how were you able to you're down Wuga and Nigel Pack. You used about everybody that was able and willing to go. And It was you stayed attached, which I thought was the key. Stay close until the final couple of minutes. Actually, I thought, maybe Matt Cleveland was going to beat Carolina the way he did it last year at the Watsco Center for Florida State. But at any rate, maybe take us through the game and how you and your coaching staff were able to keep your players dialed in and attached in the game. And you got really nice performance from Bensley Joseph as well.
Well, I would say – I'd say that the first thing is you got to look at the two games we played against Carolina and the approach we took both times. Because I think people might say, well, why did you do something to stop R.J. Davis? And, you know, the answer is simply this. You got to pick your poison. You got to ask yourself, do we have a better chance of stopping a guy who's got the ball in his hands all the time, can shoot threes, drive to the basket, he's in the open court, fantastic offensive player, averaging 21 a game? Or can we somehow slow down their big guy, Armando Bacot? And if we can slow down Bacot without Norshad Omir getting in foul trouble, That's probably what we need to do. Because if we stretch out our defense to force R.J. Davis into not getting as many shots, well, then they go right into Bacot. And unfortunately, when they go to Bacot, he gets the guy in foul trouble. So after about 6 minutes of the first half, Norshad Omir needed a break. And he was playing really hard, playing really well. And Bacot had no points on him. He, in fact, I don't think he caught the ball on him. He was denying him everywhere he went. So I put in Michael Nwoko, a freshman who's big, strong, athletic, and told him, look at Michael, if you can deny him like Norshad is doing, you can stay out there. But if he catches it, he's going to score or you're going to foul him every time, because the guy is just a beast around the basket when he has the ball in his hands. And Michael was able to play 5 minutes, and by the fifth minute, he'd already picked up his third foul.
Right.
So now we were able to keep Norshad in the game, and he had a great game and kept him out of foul trouble by surrounding Bacot and limiting him. If we had stretched our defense out, I'm afraid Bacot would have just fouled out our whole team, kind of like the big guy from Kansas did in the NCAA tournament 2 years ago.
Matt Cleveland went 40 minutes in the game for you, and Bensley had a career high.
Yeah, let's talk about those two guys. You know, Matt Cleveland did not have, like, a great shooting game for him.
Right, right.
He's such a terrific, like, all-around player. And I would have loved for him to have a big offensive explosion, but he didn't, and that's unfortunate. But what he was able to do, he rebounded the ball great, and he defended very well. So I would have loved for him to, you know, he ended up the game only 3 for 12. But I would say of the 12 shots he took, on an average, just an average game, he would have made 6 out of 12. And he took only 2 threes, and he made 1 out of 2 on those. So some of the shots he missed actually surprised me. I was like, oh, man, he always makes that shot.
Right.
All right. Bensley Joseph, on the other hand, has been the recipient of a ton of minutes. He played 36 minutes in last night's game. He played like 38 the last game. Because with the injuries to our guards, Nigel Pack and Wuga Poplar, the responsibility of running our team and getting us into offense and being sure we get good shots falls into Bensley Joseph's lap. And he had a career-high 21 points, 7 for 12 from the field, 5 for 8 from 3, 2 of 4 from the foul line, which again surprised me a little bit because he's a, like an 85% free throw shooter, although he's missed some recently. He had 6 rebounds and 5 assists. So he had a terrific all-around game, and I'm sure he feels very good about the way he's playing right now.
His last 4 games from three-point range, he's 16 for 32. That's pretty good.
Excellent. Yeah. The interesting thing, Joe, I don't think Vensley will agree with this, but I called him into the office about, it was after our 5th or 6th game of the new year. He was shooting 17% from 3. And I said to him, you're putting way too much pressure on yourself. I'm going to take you out of the starting lineup and let you go back into the role that you had as a 6th man. And he certainly wasn't relishing that opportunity or that challenge. Of course, every player wants to start. Every player wants to play a ton of minutes. But I thought he was putting way too much pressure on himself and that the best thing for him would just to come off the bench and be a little bit more relaxed. But since I moved him to the bench, he's been in the starting lineup almost every night because he's been replacing someone who was injured.
Right.
One night it was, Wooga. The next night it was Nigel. One night it was Keyshawn. So it's not like he's ever really been out of the starting lineup. He was shooting 17% in those first 5 or 6 conference games, and now he's shooting 50% over the last 6 games from 3. We're talking about from 3-point range.
3, right. We talked yesterday about where would your offense come from without Wooga and Nigel, but also without those guys, that does affect your defense too, right? I mean, Wooga could have spent some time on – I guess everybody spent time on R.J. Davis, but you're taking 2 other capable players out of your defensive mix.
Well, that's very true, but I'm going to give you – Joe, how many times have you said this game is all about effort,
yep.
Right? If you don't give great effort, you're not going to have success. The whole game is like a race. The team that gets more fast breaks – gets more easy layups or open threes is normally the team that's going to win. So I'm going to give you a stat over the last 3 games that should explain everything. So 3 games ago, we played Duke. In that game, there were 60 possessions, 60. And in those 60 possessions, in 25 of them, at least one of our players did not get back. Defensively. That means almost half the time Duke was in transition against a team, our team, that did not have all 5 guys back defensively. And I was absolutely furious after the game about that. So we worked on it. We work on it every day anyway, but I mean, we worked on it the next day for a half hour of just running back defensively. Shoot the ball, run back defensively. Shoot the ball, run back defensively. And we did it for a half hour. So then our next game is against Georgia Tech, right? And against Georgia Tech, there were 66 possessions, 66. And in those 66 possessions, we didn't get back 10 times. So it went from 25 times in 60 games not getting back to 10 times in 66 possessions. So great improvement. So again, we had our video guy do the numbers last night, Joe.
Right.
There was 74 possessions.
Ooh.
And we didn't get back 6 times.
Wow.
So the improvement is there. That's why the game was so close.
Right.
You'd say about Wooga and Nigel not being there defensively. Yeah, but the guys who did play busted their tail to get back. And that's
right.
How we were able to defend everybody but R.J. Davis.
Also, I wanted to point out, I guess I'll frame it this way. You and I were talking about the matchup last night, and we both had the same thought that at the beginning of the year when we looked at the schedule, I thought, wow, that big Monday night game at Carolina, that could decide the ACC championship. And obviously it hasn't worked out that way. You're mired in this losing streak. But during all this time, that hasn't wavered you at all in terms – you haven't flinched. You're coaching this team trying to find answers like they were playing for the championship last night, trying to help the players and trying to find the right strategy for whatever team that you have available to you on a given night.
Well, of course, I think that's my job, Joe. My job is to try to put our players in the best position to play well and win the game. The struggles as a coach are when your players really listen and execute the game plan, you really have a great chance to succeed. If you either don't listen or you don't execute, then you're not going to give yourself a really great chance of winning the game. So in the two areas that we really focused on preparing for Carolina was getting back defensively so we didn't give up the fast break layup, what we call the 5-second layup or the 5-second three. So we did a very good job of that last night. The thing we didn't do nearly as well is the block out on the free throw, even though that was a very strong emphasis, even though we practiced it over and over again, explained what they try to do, we were not able to keep them off the backboards in the last minute. Now, part of it was, we had guys in foul trouble, guys, going to foul out, and that becomes an issue. Bensley Joseph had four fouls. Norshad Omir fouled out. Maybe he would have been the one to get that rebound at the end had he not fouled. So that's why I said it's so important when people, I'll go back to what I said earlier. We have to keep Norshad Omir on the floor. He played 35 minutes. That's great. And if we can keep him on the floor, we become as good as anybody in the league. The problem is when he's in foul trouble and he's sitting on the bench, we're just not nearly as good as a basketball team.
Let me ask you this. You've been emphasizing the effort in getting back, and you gave the team those numbers. I was there when you gave them those numbers. When you give them, maybe you already did, but when they get these numbers of getting back or not getting back only six times and then seeing the results, because the other result was Carolina only had eight fast break points. I guess I'm going to ask that it sort of proves your point, right? Something you've been talking about, like here's the proof right here, fellas. If we do this, this is what the result is going to be. You're right in the game.
Yeah, so Carolina is the best fast break basketball team in our league. They score more transition points than anybody. And to hold them to 8 points in transition is really a good job. Joe, do you have that number for us? How many points did we get in transition?
You got seven.
So we lost that 8-7.
8-7. But you beat them in points off of turnovers 21-13.
Yeah, here's what I would tell you, that our basketball team is at its best, and it's been true for the last 3 years when we can get into the open court. When the other team is continuing to score, and we have to take the ball out of bounds and have to run half-court offense every time down the floor, we're just not nearly as good, partially because we're just not very big. And people, I say, well, why aren't you big? Why don't you recruit big guys? Well, we've tried. And we've had some guys, Fava Ire, who came in here last year. He's 6'11". But he ended up transferring out, put his name in the transfer portal. He couldn't get off the bench because he wouldn't listen. He would foul every time he got into the game. He wouldn't score because he got double teamed and he'd throw the ball away or force up a bad shot. You have to have not just big guys, but you have to have guys who are big and good. And those guys are so highly sought after by every high major school in the country. And we go after a young man and it comes down to us, Duke, Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas. You know, those are the people you compete with when it comes to big guys.
Well, you've been getting skilled players and using those guys wisely. By the way, I thought one of the biggest plays of the game last night, and I don't want to say it was a smart play. And for Baycott, it was his 160th game for Baycott last night. So there's something to be said about sticking around. Maybe it was just the way the ball bounced or whatever. But after the missed free throw, he missed two. And he was almost the last line of defense when he fouled Bensley. He needed a three at the time. And he fouled him to send Bensley to the free throw line with whatever, 5 seconds or whatever it was. Bensley couldn't get around him. And Baycott, I guess, you know, he was in the right spot at the right time.
Yeah, here's the last 5 seconds are coach's dilemma. So I'm going to take you through the scenario after Baycott fouls Bensley Joseph. We're down three. There's 5 seconds left, and here are your choices. First, make both free throws. Pull within one. Put on a full court press. Try to get a steal. If you can't, quickly foul. Then you got to go the length of the court. You got to get if the guy misses the free throw, you got to get the defensive rebound and then push it up the court and make a shot at the buzzer. Or Bensley, make the first. Now we're within two. We're right at the rim. If Bensley, we told him, miss the free throw to the left. And we put everybody on the right side of the floor and ran Matthew Cleveland to the left trying to get the ball in a layup. And unfortunately, the ball took a bad bounce and Carolina was able to get the rebound.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of options. None of them are good. It's like, okay, we make two free throws. We're down one. What are the odds of getting a 5 second violation, getting a steal and a basket? Because you're down 1 point. You need some way to score. And going the length of the court after you foul someone and then have to go back the length of the court to make a shot, the odds of that, plus we work on that regularly, Joe.
Right.
And we rarely score in practice even when there's no defense. Those are not easy plays to complete. Did you see the Duke-Wake Forest game where Duke tried to throw the ball the length of the court to Filipowski,
yes,
and the Wake Forest player just stole the pass.
Right.
Those things are very low odds. Now, when it happens, it's fantastic. But for us, we'd like to redo that last blockout so that we didn't have to miss the free throw. We'd have the ball with a chance to win it.
Right. Before I let you go, we got about 8 days off here before your bye week comes the last week of the season. What do you do here? I guess try to sort out who's healthy, right, going into Boston College?
Well, we took today off. We didn't get back till 2 o'clock in the morning, so taking today off, these guys need their rest. We're going to take tomorrow off. We're going to practice Thursday, Friday, Saturday, take Sunday off. Practice Monday, Tuesday. So we basically have five practices leading up to Boston College, which is very good preparation because we clearly have identified the things we need to get better at. And the players are focused. They still have a good attitude. We haven't given up hope of getting on a roll and playing better and coming away with some hard-fought victories. We've experienced a lot of tough luck this season. Go back to last year. We won a lot of those close games last year. We came from behind and beat some teams last year that helped us win the ACC regular season. This year, we're like snake bit. Every time we get close, we make some kind of mistake or miss a shot or don't get a rebound that would have won the game for us. So hopefully these 5 days will get us a chance to really focus on what will work going into the ACC tournament in 10 days.
Well, two years ago, Virginia Tech shot their way to the championship through 4 days, I think it was. They won four at the ACC tournament. And, heck, last year the Miami Heat were in the play-in game and had to go to overtime and in the play-in series of the NBA and ended up in the championship. So you never know. As long as you have hope, you never know.
Yeah, I think what will happen now is our players will get healthy.
Yeah.
We should have a healthy team come Boston College next week, a week from tomorrow. And if we do, we can really find out how good we can be in a short window.
Oh, and by the way, the last thing, you did have Rick Elias talk to the team the other day, and I thought it was interesting to me in so many ways, but one of them was he used the word joy, and I thought, well, that's how we were describing the team playing in November and December, with a lot of joy and a lot of smiles. And I do think, you know, the injuries sap some of that joy from and the continuity as well.
Yeah, there's so many factors in going into winning and so many factors that go into losing. And you can't just look at one thing and think, oh, that if so-and-so didn't get hurt, we would have been fine. No, this is, you know, we've had, 18 conference games, and at least 11 of them were without a starter.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to have continuity when you're constantly missing one of your best players. And someone might say, well, you were missing two last night. You still played a terrific game. Yeah, well, that's the whole point. We played a great game, but still lost. And some of the joy of playing comes from all that hard work leading to a win. All it would take for us is to win a game and feel really great about ourselves right now. And the challenge for us right now, Joe, is this. We have Boston College, who we lost to in a very close game at their place. And then we have to travel to Florida State, a place we've had almost no success since I've been here. We've played some of our best games and still lost. We've played some bad games there. Their size bothers us. Their defense bothers us. We've played well part of the game and then terrible in part of the game. Joe, can you imagine what happened last night? We had just lost to Georgia Tech, where we were up four at the half, and then come out and go on a 9-0 run and completely take over the game.
Right.
And I got to call a timeout. Last night, we gave up five quick points, and I called a timeout.
Yep.
We'd only played a minute.
Right.
But when you see things head in the wrong direction, you got to kind of stop it. And it's like being on a runaway train and hitting that emergency cord. Say, hey, we're running out of control. We're going to run right off the tracks here.
Well, hopefully we can get back on the tracks here in 8 days. And I appreciate you taking the time here tonight. I know there are a couple of games on you want to get to perhaps, and maybe get some rest yourself as well. This has been a long stretch here the last 2 or 3 weeks. So thank you very much. I think I'll see you early next week. I'll come down to practice.
Okay, Joe. Thank you.
All right, Coach. All right, thanks a lot. University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga joining us. And, you know, you go to a University of Miami basketball game right there on the baseline all the time is Ed Williamson and his lovely wife, Carol. They are pillars in this community. And, of course, Ed Williamson, his dealership, Williamson Cadillac, founded over 50 years ago. And they're more than just a dealership. They're University of Miami fans. They're fans of the community. They're our friends. They're our neighbors. But also, they have built a loyal client base by staying focused on one thing, They stay focused all the time at Williamson Cadillac, and that is on you, on the customer experience. Customers, you, me, we are treated like family. So if you want to enjoy world-class customer service when you purchase a new Cadillac from Williamson Cadillac, new vehicles are arriving every single day. And so whatever you're looking for, they're going to have it at Williamson Cadillac. So stop by, experience Williamson Cadillac's preferred atmosphere, easy to find on US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto, or online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. They've got them all, the XT5, the XT4, the Lyrica. I'm driving the XT4. They're all smooth rides, luxury automobiles. You want to put some luxury into your lifestyle? Well, get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your friend, from your neighbor, from your Hurricane fan, Williamson Cadillac, your premier luxury dealership. Williamson Cadillac, Williamson is Miami.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.